You're listening to episode 28 of IDRA Class Notes.
State and local resources really are needed at this point in order to come into full compliance, and that is the question before the court right now, is whether the states and localities should be required to invest their own resources in something that is mandated by the federal government but not adequately funded.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Christy Goodman. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve every student. We'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for future episodes and topics. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how you can contact us, and we really encourage you to do that and let us know what you're thinking. We also have set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing to this podcast through iTunes or some other directory, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website and sign up for free. Today, our topic is about the court ruling on compliance with NCOB mandates, and we'll be talking with Dr. Albert Cortez. Albert directs policy at IDRA and is at the forefront of Texas and national policymaking. He earned his master's degree in Cultural Foundations of Education and his doctorate in Cultural Foundations of Education as well, with a support area in educational administration from the University of Texas at Austin. Dr. Cortez is an expert on education policy at the local, state, and national levels, and he has been extensively involved in the development of school finance reform policy, dropout prevention, immigrant education, and state assessment. A few weeks ago, in early January, a three-judge panel of federal appeals court ruled in favor of school districts in several states who claimed that the No Child Left Behind Act requires them to pay for testing and other programs without providing sufficient federal money. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Dr. Cortez.
Thank you.
Let's start with just giving a little background on the case and describing what it's about.
Well, the case is entitled Pontiac School District versus U.S. Department of Education, and was filed in the district court in the Eastern District of Michigan at Detroit. In the initial district court ruling, the federal position that districts and states needed to comply with NCLB requirements because they knew what they were getting into when they agreed to take the funding and accept the mandates, that they knew that what the requirements were, what the implications were, and they prevailed at the district court level. Mm-hmm. That was appealed by the nine school districts and the NEA affiliates that were the plaintiffs in the case.
The National Education Association.
That's right. And they took it to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, mm-hmm. and in a 2-1 ruling, the appeals court reversed the district court and mm-hmm. said no, that the federal government had not made it clear to the states and to the districts what they needed to do, what the implications were, mm-hmm. and that given that lack of notice, mm-hmm. that they needed to take the court mm-hmm. decision back to the district court for rehearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the districts involved, are they all in Michigan?
No, actually the lead plaintiff is Pontiac in Michigan, but mm-hmm. there are nine different districts okay. from different parts of the country, mm-hmm. including Texas and other northeastern states.
Okay. Were there certain mandates that they were focusing on?
Specifically, the major concerns were many mandates that required extensive use of resources mm-hmm. To implement. Mm-hmm. One was the creation of accountability systems. Mm-hmm. Others were the creation of state standards and assessment measures mm-hmm. to assess progress toward meeting those standards. Mm-hmm. There was also a pretty extensive requirement related to assuring that there were high quality teachers in every classroom. Mm-hmm.
And so that ruling was in January, so what happens after that?
The next step is essentially the ball is in the Department of Education's court. Mm-hmm. They have taken the position that the appeals court was incorrect in their mm-hmm. ruling, mm-hmm. and they are, the Secretary of Education Spellings has announced that they would be going back to the Fifth Circuit mm-hmm. and request a rehearing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the appeals court denies the request for rehearing, mm-hmm. It is assumed that the Department of Education would appeal the decision to mm-hmm. the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pretty much have to, right? Or else they're...
That's pretty much where the final decision will probably play out. Mm-hmm. Until that final determination happens, there's going to be a lot of conversation about, well, what do you do in the interim.
Right, right. And how long would that take?
That could take as long as... I suspect they would fast-track it, but even in the fast-track, it probably would take as long as a year before we might get a final ruling.
Okay. And right now, Congress is talking about reauthorization and whether or not they'll do it during an election year or postpone. And so how does this affect that?
Well, obviously, it's got implication. Besides the fact that the reauthorization conversation has become somewhat stalled because of a lot of disagreement over mm-hmm. what ought to be done in terms of revision of NCLB. The decision, to some degree, may even further stall action on NCLB, as the states and the local districts will argue that until some of those issues are resolved, mm-hmm. that any reauthorization conversation be mm-hmm. set aside.
Mm-hmm. So should states or school districts be doing anything different with the ruling that's come down?
Over the short term, the answer is probably not. Mm-hmm. The NCLB is still the law of the land. It has not been overturned, you know, mm-hmm. by the highest court, even though issues have been raised mm-hmm. about whether or not states and districts should be required to comply mm-hmm. with all the provisions, mm-hmm. Particularly the issue of not having funding to implement mm-hmm. all of the requirements mm-hmm. is an important issue. But until there is a final ruling, the states and districts should assume that they should comply with whatever mm-hmm. those mandates are.
Mm-hmm. And that would continue into the next school year as well, if it's going to take that long to resolve.
That should continue, of course, as they proceed. You know, the fact that it is now in play mm-hmm. may have an impact on how quickly certain efforts may be able to move forward, particularly, again, because of the requirements that state and local resources really are needed at mm-hmm. this point in mm-hmm. order to come into full compliance. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that is the question before the mm-hmm. court right now, is whether the states and localities should be required to mm-hmm. invest their own resources in something that is mandated by the federal government mm-hmm. but not adequately funded.
Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that reauthorization could happen more quickly and they would actually resolve the issues in the reauthorization?
It is a possibility, but probably not a probability.
Okay.
Again, given the complexity mm-hmm. of all the pieces of mm-hmm. NCLB, mm-hmm. again, that are compounded now by a legal challenge mm-hmm. that's sitting on the table.
So what are some of the broader implications regarding accountability, for example?
The implications in terms of accountability are somewhat mixed. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we as an organization feel that there are certain provisions of NCLB accountability that are good mm-hmm. Components. Mm-hmm. The fact that data was collected on achievement levels of students and made available to the mm-hmm. public, mm-hmm. we think is a very important move forward. The fact that the data were disaggregated by different subgroups is an important issue that if the resources are needed to mm-hmm. Implement those requirements, of course, they should be made available. On the other hand, there were some problematic issues with certain accountability-related provisions of the law. Mm-hmm. One of them was that the data that was collected sometimes allowed for exemptions mm-hmm. of certain subcategories mm-hmm. of students, mm-hmm. and there had been ongoing negotiations going on about how many kids could be excluded mm-hmm. from both assessment systems, an issue that we have concerns about. And again, there was a question about what was considered to be appropriate measures of accountability. The feds tended to emphasize single criteria, like mm-hmm. the use of primarily state assessment measures.
Right.
Most experts agree that you should never use any single indicator mm-hmm. of accountability, mm-hmm. Either to assess how schools are doing or mm-hmm. how students are doing. And that's one area of NCLB that we think did need modification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about other kinds of implications?
The issues, for example, on setting state standards mm-hmm. and having measures that are aligned to those standards to measure progress, we think are important elements to have in place. Again, that, you know, that should be continued, but also if we're going to continue, we need to ensure that the resources are there to help states and districts, you know, meet those requirements. The fact that NCLB required all states to ensure that there was a highly qualified teacher in every classroom, a very critical part of the legislation, we thought really a centerpiece of what was being called for. But at the same time, again, if you're going to have that requirement in place, you have to make sure that the states and the districts have the resources that are needed to bring them into compliance with that requirement. A third issue has to do with continuing to call for the collection of credible, reliable data on state and school system graduation rates and dropout rates as an indicator of how states are doing. But again, we know that different states are at different stages of developing the infrastructure, the data systems, et cetera, that are required to do that. We think it's an important feature to move forward, but at the same time, we have to make sure that the resources and the support from the federal government are there to help states and districts move positively in that direction and ultimately comply with what was being called for.
Is there anything else you want to say to particularly teachers and school administrators who may be listening?
The fact that, the issue was raised that if the federal government is going to require states and localities to comply with federal requirements, we think was an important issue to raise. We have seen the federal government take a more active role in what they think ought to be going on in states in terms of quality education. We think that's an important step forward on the part of the federal government. But at the same time, they shouldn't be allowed to feel content with putting out mandates without assuming their responsibility in ensuring that those mandates are implemented, not only by providing for accountability, but more importantly, ensuring that the resources are there to help districts, you know, meet those requirements. You know, and ultimately, I think the intent may be a similar one. States and local districts, we believe, want to ensure that children, you know, get the best quality education that can be provided. We think the federal government is reflecting that same kind of intent. But again, we think that intent should also be matched with providing what is needed to make sure that what you feel are important things to do actually get the support that's needed to make them a reality.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And for our listeners, please stay tuned. And again, let us know if you have any questions or other thoughts on this or other topics. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.